Okay, I will talk about the Enhanced Biometric Security Partnership. Der Vortrag ist auf Englisch. Wenn ihr das nicht versteht, weiß ich auch nicht, müsst ihr euch flüstern von Nachbarn übersetzen lassen vielleicht. Fragen könnt ihr auf jeden Fall auch auf Deutsch stellen oder Anmerkungen. So the talk will be in English. And I will a little bit connect to the talk that you heard this noon about the US military using biometrics for querying databases, and at least one of the databases mentioned in the talk before will appear here as well. But basically, my talk is about the police aspect of using of biometrics. And I will explain how the US government is demanding access to biometric databases which were created by police in other countries, mostly in the European Union. So the whole thing of this EBSP, so the Enhanced Border Security Partnership, started about a year ago when the US government sent a letter to several embassies, so most of them in the European Union, demanding direct access to fingerprints and facial images in police databases. So the databases in questions are like suspected criminals, convinced criminals, and also terrorists, for example, and asylum seekers. So this is very common that police databases, biometric databases, contain these two groups of people, like on the one hand, criminals or suspected criminals and asylum seekers. And at a certain point of these talks, they also mentioned registration data, also Einwohnermeldedaten, but this is at the moment, this at the moment doesn't play a role, which also, for example, in the case of Germany, it would be very difficult because even the German police doesn't have automatic access to residents' registration data. And the data should be used for border purposes, so border control. That means always if a traveler or an asylum seeker is crossing a border of the US, the border authorities might do a hit or no hit query. This is actually not such a big thing because this is in some cases among criminal police, this is quite usual actually, like to have this hit or no hit access in databases of countries you are friend with. But the idea is if there is a hit, then the US authorities might have a direct pull access on the data in question. And this is really not a normal thing. So this is, so I don't know any country that allows another country this kind of access. The data that the US border authorities would get from these countries would then be queried with US databases. And the biggest databases on homeland security purposes, it's the IDENT system with about 275 million of individuals and a bunch of more faces. So you see here that, and fingerprints of course as well, you see here that the police probably have up to an average like five facial images, 4 to 5 facial images of each person stored there. So this is the database that the US would use to query the fingerprints and facial images. And don't be confused, so if you Google this in the internet, the IDENT database is now being transformed into another one. Called HART. The interesting thing here is that even the government is advertising it with continuously improved algorithms. And I will not go into detail here, but if you know, as you know, perhaps the EU Commission proposed the so-called AI Act, which also should have been applying also to police, which is excluding the use of artificial intelligence in border purposes. But the US database, for the US database here, HART, it's a feature, use algorithm. There are already some countries that agreed to this proposal, or I would call it a demand. And we only know it from Israel and Great Britain. And reportedly, there are also three EU states that said that they would open their databases to the US. We don't know, or at least I don't know, which states these are. But you could guess that, I mentioned some here, that it might be the governments of these five countries, because they already have similar agreements with the US to for like an enhanced data exchange also on police purposes. So for now, the participation should be voluntary, but from 2027, so that means in 4 or 5 years, it will be mandatory. And otherwise, so if the countries in question do not collaborate, they might be kicked out of the visa waiver program. The visa waiver program is, I think it's from the 90s actually. It's a very old program of the US, and they grant visa-free entry to the participant governments, or to the citizens of the participating governments. Germany is one of them. Basically, nearly all EU states, except I think at the moment two, which I think is Bulgaria and Cyprus, who are at the moment not part of the visa waiver program. And in total, it's 40 countries worldwide. And this agreement is for both sides. So the US is giving free access, visa-free access for, let's say, German citizens, for example, and Germany gives free visa-free access to US citizens. But this will not happen anymore if Germany is not agreeing to open the database. That's the threat in the room at the moment. So yeah, here it's since 1986, the US visa waiver program, and there were already several restrictions. So that started after 9/11, when the US government said that they want to have the participating countries using biometric passports only. And also, you probably know, if you have been in the US once, that you have to pre-register, so-called ESTA system, something the EU is building up as well with the ETIAS pre-registration. But this is not a visa, this is just registering, nothing else. And the, to my knowledge, last rule that the US introduced into the visa waiver program was an agreement between criminal police. And this was already a little bit similar because it's about biometric data. So for example, the German BKA, the Federal Criminal Police, they might ask in the US or with a biometric, with a photo or with a fingerprint, if this person is known to the US. But this process takes days or even weeks until they get a response. And it's only a hit or no hit query. And also the response is only a yes or a no. And then they have to ask with a court warrant, like for the rest of the data. And what I'm talking about here for the border purposes, this will happen within some seconds. So this is totally different. How did the EU react? So, or is the EU here targeted? So there was a joint response by the French presidency in March, the EU presidency at that time, and they just asked the US like if they might specify the demand, and then they get into talks with the US government. Also, the EU Commission is taking part in these talks. They call it a technical dialogue. And there are some council working groups that are affected on the matter, which is exchange of information in justice and home affairs and visa. So, but there are no official negotiations or something with the EU, because it's also still in question if the EU is competent here or not, because legally, these agreements are bilateral. So the US government will have this agreement with all the 40 states. So there will be a bilateral agreement and probably something like a memorandum, let's say, between Washington and Berlin, and 39 other agreements of this kind. Also, the EU Commission received this kind of invitation by the US to have like the technical talks. I tried to receive these letters, so the letters from the US and the response from the French presidency, but with Frag den Staat, but they are secret. So we can only guess what it is. So the US is not demanding access to EU databases. This is important because, this is what I said, like the agreements would be bilateral, but the EU is somehow affected. For example, most of the biometric data in Germany is mirrored in EU databases. So for example, the German INPOL database from police and secret services, most of the entries are also in the Schengen information system. So it's very easy, the police is only flagging the data, and then it appears also in the same kind in the Schengen information system. So let's say if the US might have with all the 27 EU member states these kind of agreements, then de facto this would be also de facto access to EU databases. And just to explain a little bit the scope of this, so the European Union is now enhancing their databases. So this is the new architecture. You see several databases like the Schengen Information System, which is the biggest police database in Europe. You have the visa information system for visa applicants. You have Eurodac for asylum seekers. And you have the EES, the entry-exit system, that will be introduced next year. And each traveler has to leave their biometric, their fingerprints, and their facial images. So the EU is building up a huge database. And this might also, like biometric database, and this might a little bit explain the interest of the US. So why, at the time being, the US is demanding this kind of access? Because the EU is creating such a big pile of new databases. It's not only one database, it's like five databases, but they are connected to each other. And there is another one, a sixth one, but this is not a central database, this is a decentralized database. So all the databases with images, facial images, will be connected as well. So we have this already with fingerprints. So the police has access to all fingerprint databases in the in other Schengen countries, but this is not working for facial images. But this will be renewed. So next year or the year after, also facial images can be queried by every Schengen member, every police force in the Schengen system. And you see here, this sheet is from a presentation of the EU Commission, and you see here all the member states that have such a facial recognition database. And you see it's not 27. It's like half of it. And that means with the new decision that there will be such a, the decision is not taken, but it will be taken soon, that there will be such a network of facial images databases, puts pressure on all the countries that do not have such a database at the moment, which for example is Ireland or Portugal. And there is a big struggle at the moment now to create these databases, to connect them to the EU system. So this was just to explain a little bit where the desire of the US government in Washington might come from to have access to a European, not only European, I mean it's also Israel for example, databases. So also the issue is that even if it's if it would be a contract between governments, like Washington and Berlin for example, European data protection law is affected. I mentioned here some of them, for example, also the AI Act, because what I already said, like, for example, the US would use algorithms And also, the principle of proportionality might be harmed or undermined, because they want access to police files for border purposes. I mean, they already have biometric passports. They have the ESTA system. So what do they need the biometric data of people, for example? In Germany, this would be the INPOL database. INPOL is the biggest police database that was already mentioned this noon by the talk about the military and the biometrics. It contains 3.6 million people, and if I'm not mistaken, at the moment 5.8 million entries of biometric data. So it's a huge database. 80 million citizens, but 3.6 are included in the German database. This is basically not only criminals or suspected criminals, it's also asylum seekers. So something like half of it is asylum seekers that were rejected and that are forbidden to entry Germany or the European Union again. And this would be the German database the US border police would have access to. Also, if I'm still talking about the EU competence, do you react on that? Also, of course, what I explained here is affecting the EU visa regime, because it's directly connected to the visa waiver program. So it's a new condition of the visa waiver program. And so this is something the EU has a competence. The EU is dealing with the visa waiver program. And there were three countries that were not part of it. I think Romania now is. Weeks this happened. And the EU Commission is obliged to look for justice for all the member states. So if 25 of them are a member of the visa waiver program, everybody should, all the countries. But the Commission is not acting on the matter, and this is why the EU Parliament is suing the Commission to seek justice for Bulgarians, to make them member of the US visa waiver program. So of course, the EU Commission would also have a responsibility here. Biometric, the demand of being part of the program. And so, yeah, this is my last sheet. So we don't know how this will be proceed. So the EU member states, they agreed that the presidency is responding, the EU presidency is responding to the US, and so the US government responded as well. They started technical talks. What do you want? There are no negotiations yet. There is also no mandate for negotiations. So there are some, so I think the council had already, the critical service of the council had already presented an assessment, which is not public, secret as well. I think the Commission might present something like this as well in the working groups. And then it will be decided if the Commission will hold talks on. And why I applied for a talk here today is because I find it very interesting, because in 5 years, this should be mandatory. So we have 5 years time to fight against it. And all of this is now at the very beginning. And also the EU or the member states and the Commission, they are not really clear if they are responsible or not. And like the talks are in the very beginning. And this is why I think there is a big chance also for us to respond to that. That was my. So if you want, wenn ihr wollt, könnt ihr Fragen auch auf Deutsch stellen und ich wiederhole die dann auf Englisch.
Thank you very much for your talk. It seems to me that if the US were to ban visa-free entry to EU member states, that it would be inflicting a self-inflicted wound economically. And I'm wondering whether that is something that could basically, to some extent, allow the EU to call the US's bluff. To call the US's bluff, because especially in such a charged sort of competitive atmosphere between the US and India and China, does it really make sense for the United States to alienate EU member states economically with a measure like this? It seems like they're just, it seems like there is a chance that they're just saying this in order to sort of bully the EU into doing what they want. But would they really do something like that given the economic impact that it might have on the US?
So I don't know. I take it very serious because, as I mentioned, that they had already at least three times they tightened the rules. So they introduced what they wanted. And I don't think this is like just a shot in the air and look how the reactions are. So I think they will take it serious. And I also think that there is a kind of pressure. So if the US, if UK and Israel, for example, already agreed on that, and some EU member states also agreed, so there is also a pressure rising for the others, and they might say, okay, we will not give access to the national databases because this is national sovereignty, but they might say, but okay, we can give access to the EU databases because we share EU and US databases on other levels as well. So this might happen, for example. I don't know, but I take it serious.
Thank you.
And what I also did not mention in particular is the databases that the US is using it for is also the automatic biometric identification system. I think this is the abbreviation, ABIS, which is the, so this is an image of the Department of Homeland Security, and you see how they connect the databases. So there is the Department of Justice, the Homeland Security, and the military that have like three big databases, and one of them is the database that you heard about this noon of the military. Other comments or questions?
Hi. So there are two things that struck me a little bit as odd. The first thing I was wondering, like, why are they using the ESTA or rather the visa waiver program as a kind of pressure, as a means of pressure here? Because I kind of thought they were already gathering biometric data from people who are entering the US at the time they are entering the US. So is it more like they just want to know if any one of them is known to be a criminal rather than getting additional biometric data?
So the idea is not to download the whole databases and integrate them into the US databases. The idea is an individual access. So whenever a traveler is passing, the US might query his or her data in Germany and then, for example, have the image and then compare the image with the person in question, for example. Or whatever, refuse entry, for example. So this is, and they explain it to use it for border purposes, border control, and for law enforcement. And I think there is no other regime which could give a reason to this demand. I mean, all the others would be like, please, it's a proposal, would you agree? But here it's a demand, so they can use it for pressure, for raising pressure.
The other question I had was, why are asylum seekers put in the same category as terrorists? Because it struck me as really odd that they are gathering the biometric data of terrorists and criminals and asylum seekers. Those seem like entirely different categories.
This is the usual thing. So the database in question is not called terrorists. The database in question is called biometric database. And all the biometrics are collected. And of course, the people are not flagged. Everybody as terrorists or criminals. So also in Inpool, it's like that. So you have half of the 3.6 million are asylum seekers. And there is only one German-wide database of biometrics. So, and in the US, in the ident system, it seems to be a little bit the same. The only difference I saw in the ident system is that it's containing on a much broader scale third country nationals. So in Germany, it's half Germans and half asylum seekers. And in the US, most of them are third country nationals, which are like, which could also be criminals. And asylum seekers. So I think in the US, this is it is because in the US it's not so common to store their own citizens in databases.
Pensions are not currently adopted. And are any of these not currently?
So the question was about the EU member states. The microphone, I think, had a problem. Was about the EU member states who did agree or oppose on that. And yeah, so the only information that I think comes from Politico, or I don't really remember one of the media, only a few media reported about that, by the way. And it was not mentioned which member states these are, but it was reported that they agreed. So probably it's not implemented yet. So probably this was at the beginning the political decision. Also, Israel and UK seems to be at the moment only an agreement on a political level, because you can look up the member states of the visa waiver program, and Israel is not a member at the moment, not yet. So they took the decision a couple of months ago, and so it will probably take time to implement it. Perhaps in these three EU member states, they also have to change the law and bring it to the parliament, or however they ratify their laws. So there is nothing more known about it, and there is no EU member state like kind of opposing it. So the idea is like, okay, let the EU answer and let's have a look. Let's get into the technical dialogue and see what they want. And in the technical dialogue, it was mentioned fingerprints, so they want fingerprints. Probably facial images come on a later stage, so probably the direct access should be first proceeded with fingerprints, then with facial images. Okay. Thank you.